but with just two words. Something shifted between us. The air was breathable now, but my breath was ragged as I watched Mason slowly come down from his rage, at least enough to notice my wet, heaving breasts and just a lace bra before him. An ache pulsed between my thighs as I watched him stare me down. "I'm sorry," I repeated. "I was wrong. And I'm sure I was irrational," I whispered, pushing my wet hair off my shoulders and meeting his eye. "But I don't think I'm that hard to please." He lifted his eyes to me. "Is that right?" The huskiness of his voice prickled over my skin. I breathed out hard, and with a lust I knew he heard, because suddenly he moved in so close, my breasts were pressed against his hard body. "You asking me to try?" My lip quivered as he hooked a finger into my panties. "Say the word, and I'll give you every pleasure Aaron never came close to giving you. I'll make your pussy wetter than it's ever been in your life." My pulse was hammering, my breaths shaky as a result, but I forced myself to speak. "Do it." I'd barely answered before Mason crushed his mouth over mine, tearing down the cups of my bra and molding his hands over my breasts. He squeezed mercilessly as he swept his tongue through me, along every corner of my mouth, sparking blasts of heat throughout my shivering body. But as quickly as he kissed me, he pulled away, pinning his eyes to mine as he murmured, "Turn around for me." Breathless, I obliged, staring down the length of the bed as I felt Mason sink to a crouch behind me. As he unzipped my boots and peeled them off my legs, I felt his breath travel up my inner thighs. That alone felt so good, I could hardly stand. "Step out," Mason murmured. Again, I did as I was told, and heard my heavy heels set aside on the hardwood floor before he spoke again. "Bend over for me." My hand slid up the silk sheets as I bent over the bed, my mouth parting wider as I felt his fingers pull down my panties. I squeezed handfuls of sheets as I stepped out of them, feeling the air hit my most sensitive parts, already throbbing with need. I was so exposed, so incredibly vulnerable, and to a man I was sure I hated 5 minutes ago. "You're fucking perfect," Mason murmured, his voice a mixture of filthy lust and pure awe. "You're so fucking wet." I nodded eagerly, a desperate sound pleading from my lips. My fists pulsed around the silk as I waited for him, anticipation thrumming like flames under my skin, until slowly I felt the heat of Mason's breath on my sex. The first lick arched my back hard. "Oh, God," I moaned, pulling the sheets. I pulled sharper with the second lick, this one longer, wetter, and more torturous than the last. "Please keep going, Mace. Please don't stop," I begged breathlessly. "I haven't started," he murmured against my pussy, his hands squeezing up the backs of my thighs, grabbing handfuls of my ass, and spreading me further apart. My toes curled against the hardwood as he made me wait another second for his tongue. With a whimper, I writhed against the sheets. I could still feel his breath hot against me, so I arched my back further for him, spreading my legs wider, silently begging him to lick me again. The second I lost hope, he squeezed my ass and plunged his tongue deep into my pussy. "Mason," I gasped, hugging silk to my breasts. There was greediness in his pace as he laved against me, coaxing every drop of my arousal onto that wicked tongue. Holy fucking shit. I couldn't believe the sensation surging through my body as I lay on my stomach for Mason, giving him full control, and letting him tunnel so deep inside me, I could hardly breathe. Lapping at me, Mason groaned. Filling the room was the filthy, wet sound of his tongue pleasuring me, unraveling me, making me feel as incredibly fucking good as he promised. I was in such a state of bliss, I barely processed his strong arms moving my body, pushing me up the bed, and kissing along my hip bones as he turned me over onto my back. My eyes hooked on his intense stare, before my jaw dropped at the sight of his erection. It was snaked down one leg and pulsing thick against his jeans, but I got only a glimpse before Mason spread my legs and lifted them over his shoulders, leaning forward between them. He wet his lips, taking me in from this new angle, before pressing his tongue over my clit. I gasped as a shock of pleasure rippled through me. "Tell me how good you feel," Mason growled, licking slowly, gently as he waited to hear me. "Please, Mace," I writhed, thrusting my hips forward and arching my back in a hot desperation to feel his tongue again. "It feels too good. I can't take it if you stop again."
"Keep doing that," he growled as I squeezed my breasts.
He watched me, drinking me in for another second, before sliding his hands under my ass and lifting me up to his mouth. As his hot tongue rolled up and down the length of my pussy, I cried up to the ceiling, yanking the sheets clean off the bed. The moans that ripped from my throat made him groan against me, sending a delicious hum over my clit and straight to my core. It felt so good now I could barely take it anymore. I writhed on the bed, practically wrestling under Mason, making him fight against me. And with pleasure he did, rumbling against my pussy as he hugged my thighs against his shoulders, pinning me down with his tongue and sucking my clit till an orgasm erupted from the base of my spine. Still holding me tight, Mason absorbed my every shock and spasm. He growled with thick arousal once I was done, kneeling over me and groping my breast as he buried his mouth into my neck. Closing my eyes, I reveled in the afterglow of the unbelievable pleasure he'd just shown me. With just his fucking tongue. It felt like I took forever as I lay there, recovering, processing. "Holy shit," I panted hard, realizing that I'd just had my first orgasm since Aaron left me, and it had come at the hands of his older brother. Rather, his mouth. That smart fucking mouth that only ever gave me sarcasm and rudeness had just brought me to a climax so mind-numbingly good, I couldn't think. Good God, Taylor. I couldn't handle the reality of what just happened, or the fact that I didn't regret one wet second of it. So I gave myself a break and let my mind drift into oblivion. For once, I wasn't analyzing. I wasn't even thinking anymore. But I did remember laughing softly as Mason eventually pulled the dry change of clothes over my limp body. Then, without a single person noticing, we slipped out of the party. Chapter 11. I knew before I opened my eyes the next morning that I was in Mason's bed. It obviously wasn't my own. For starters, I'd been sleeping on a couch for months. But that much aside, the sheets wrapped around me were just softer, thicker, and plusher than anything I could afford. They screamed luxury, and I stayed wrapped in them a little longer, listening to the sound of Mason's shower running in his bathroom. I took comfort in the soft rainfall, mostly because I couldn't believe he was still here. We didn't have sex last night. Considering that, I half expected that he'd go into work early and leave a note detailing how I should see myself out. I had actually woken in the night dreading the moment, especially since he was sleeping away from me on the bed, breathtakingly stretched out on his back, with one arm up and the other resting over his abs. In my bleary half-sleep, I actually thought, imagine waking up to that, and then realized I wouldn't. At that point, I told myself to just see myself out, but my body was melting into his foam mattress, and there was still heavenly sleep steeped in my bones. So I thought, fuck it, and decided to enjoy the best slumber of my life before dealing with my next episode of Mason-related fury in a few hours. But when I finally stirred in the morning, it was because he'd rolled out of bed. Facing away from him, my eyes still closed, I waited to hear the metal clinking of watches and cufflinks. Mason dressing in a rush before walking out the door. But instead, I heard the simple sound of him breathing in deep as he sat at the edge of the bed, and then the ridiculously sexy sound of him letting that breath out. Turning off his alarm,
He set his phone gingerly back on the nightstand, sliding it slowly, carefully, onto the surface.
Is he? He was being quiet for me. It was a teeny tiny gesture, but somehow it felt huge, and I couldn't help grinning. My lips only curved wider as I heard him stretch, groan softly, and then walk into his bathroom, shutting the door with the same soft touch that he'd rest his phone with. When I finally did open my eyes, I scanned the nearby surfaces for a note, a sign of any sort that I was expected gone by the time he finished showering. None. I looked for my phone to text Sophia, but it was nowhere in sight, so at that point, I let myself take in the impressive master bedroom of Mason Leo's apartment. The room was soaked in sun, and perfectly bright, despite accents of mostly black and charcoal. Behind me was a tufted leather headboard I guessed was half the size of my studio, and surrounding me were three walls of floor-to-ceiling windows, boasting views of blue sky behind the glittering Freedom Tower. Seriously, imagine waking up to this every morning. I thought again, fully awake this time. By the time I heard the shower turn off, I was sitting up in bed, and despite his consideration of me as I slept, I was still nervous to face Mason this morning. Last night had ended fine, but now that I thought about it, there were some hiccups that made me shudder. Upon leaving Noah's apartment, Mason had brought me to his, and after running me a shower in the guest bathroom, he'd pulled me into his chest by the waist of my leggings. Running a hand down the curve of my ass, he pressed his lips to mine and squeezed, his fingertips just grazing my pussy. But when I moaned, he pulled back and laughed.
"Don't make those sounds."
"Why not?"
"Because I don't need to get any harder."
Selfishly, I wanted him to. I couldn't help wanting to touch Mason, to feel my hands wrapped around his erection. But when I reached between our bodies, he swiftly stopped me before my fingers made contact, and with a call from Noah buzzing on his phone, he told me to shower and left. By the time I got out, he was still on the phone, but he put the conversation on hold for a moment to tell me to go upstairs and sleep in his bedroom. And as much as I wanted to stay up and get some kind of answer for what just happened between us, I was minutes from passing out. So I went ahead and slept. I felt him join the bed 2 hours later, and to my dismay, he didn't touch me. He didn't come near me. And so I was convinced that by the time I woke up, I'd be alone. And I was right. I did wake up alone. But not quite as I'd imagined. Morning. Mother of God. I felt like a queen the second Mason came out of the bathroom. Leaning against a cloud of pillows in a sea of buttery silk, I turned to find him walking toward me like a Greek god walking earth. I had to bite my lip as I took in the plush, white towel knotted low on hip bones that screamed sex. I couldn't even help my eyes as they traveled up each perfectly defined section of the six-pack that looked even better than it did in my imagination. Lord, I'd never ogled someone so blatantly in my life, but it really couldn't be helped with a man who looked like Mason Leo. Especially not when he was greeting me with that sexy, crooked smile. "Morning," I returned in a murmur, treating myself to every slanted cut of muscle in his back as he grabbed boxers from his dresser.
"Sleep well?"
"Yes," I replied, as he disappeared into his closet. The neat sound of a zipper pulled up let me know he was changing, so I took the time to breathe and try to mimic his nonchalance. But when he emerged still shirtless in belted black pants, I lost my breath again. He observed me for a second, then asked point blank,
"Why are you so nervous?"
My eyes fluttered, feeling exposed. I hugged the sheets to my chest. I don't know, Mason," I laughed curtly. "Can't you guess?"
"I'll move past our little spat last night and guess that it's something to do with the events that took place after. After you got out of the pool."
"Warmer," I said, watching his bicep twitch as he dried his hair. Mason smirked.
"All right. Then is it the fact that my tongue made you come harder than Aaron has ever made you come in your life?"
He peered up from his towel to catch my frozen expression. Oh, yeah. I think I nailed it. Still not sure what the nervous Bambi eyes are about, though. I was incredulous.
Really? You just said it. It's that whatever line there was between us, we crossed it last night. Hard.
And do you regret it?
I looked up at his gleaming eyes. No. I replied sooner than I meant to. I hugged the sheets harder to my breast as I countered. Do you? For all I knew, the silence that passed spanned 3 seconds, but to me, it felt like half an eternity.
No,
Mason finally said. I nodded, despite doubt crawling through me. Then, I remembered our moment in the bathroom, when I'd wanted to return the favor to Mason only to have my offer declined. In my exhaustion, the rejection hadn't fully sunk in last night, but this morning, it made my face heat right up. Why wouldn't you...
let you repay me?
Mason cocked his eyebrow.
Considering you thought I was trying to buy sex from you 12 hours ago, I wanted to keep things crystal clear,
Mason said, glancing up at me. He looked almost irked by the skepticism pinching my brow.
Hard for you to believe?
Yes.
Why?
Probably because I know too much about your sexual appetite, and because I saw how hard you were at Noah's house, and I almost felt it. How hard you were downstairs last night, before I showered. I forced myself not to be intimidated by his gaze pinned on me, as he crossed the length of his room to reach his other dresser. I guess I have trouble believing that you'd deprive yourself of pleasure, just to give me reassurance. I watched his back as he opened a drawer.
I don't deprive myself of pleasure.
Is that your way of telling me you had girls over while I was passed out last night?
Is that your way of asking me whether I've slept with anyone since we started this arrangement?
Ah. There was that smug tone I hadn't heard in a whole day. Chewing my lip, I tried to sound blithe. I'll admit, I'm curious. Fastening silver cufflinks, Mason turned to face me.
I haven't slept with anyone since the day I came into your apartment. Contrary to popular belief, I don't require sex every 3 hours.
A faint smile rose to his lips.
It's also not my first time meeting you, Taylor. I've known you for 3 years. I know the level of respect you deserve and require, and I'm well aware that you'd be uncomfortable with the idea of playing my girlfriend while I slept with other women. And considering your issues with me thus far have already been plentiful, I figured I wouldn't give you one more thing to harp about.
Wow, that was almost sweet until the end, he smirked.
You should never get your hopes up with me.
Guess not, I laughed, though the statement stuck to me, putting an uneasy feeling in my stomach as I brushed my teeth in his bathroom. But when I came out, Mason was fully dressed in a gray suit and tie, and with a hand on my back and a nod out the door, he walked with me downstairs.
I have to rush to work, but we can fit some coffee,
he said as he straightened his tie, and so I sat at the counter of the open kitchen, gazing down onto Mercer Street, as Mason made what I thought was 2 Americanos. I cocked my head when he turned from the espresso machine with just one, sliding it across the island toward me. None for you?
Not this morning. I have a lunch with the trust of the Tate Building in 30 minutes.
So, you're telling me you just delayed your morning to make me coffee?
I wouldn't think I'd have to tell you considering you just saw it happen,
Mason said.
I do have to go now, but you're welcome to stay here.
I veiled my surprise by the offer. I'll go, at some point. I need to change into my own clothing. Pretty sure whatever I'm wearing belongs to an ex of Noah's.
Fair enough.
Mason turned away from me as he grabbed his coat off the back of his chair.
Your necklace is on the living room table. Make sure to take it before you leave.
I will, I said, a jitteriness in my bones. I knew he had to leave, but I wished badly for another 10 minutes to lead the conversation back to last night, specifically into the fact that I wanted to return the favor. I wanted to show Mason pleasure, and I hated that I had doubts about whether he cared to receive it. He had been perfectly gracious with me this morning, but I still found multiple things to be bothered by. His eyes didn't burn into me the way they had last night. He hadn't flirted much, and now he wasn't looking at me at all. Our lack of eye contact approached 2 minutes now, as he tucked a folder into his black briefcase and zipped it up. "When will I see you again?" I asked, my pulse jumping when those blue eyes found mine again. "I'll have to see," came his answer, prompting the wave of disappointment to crash in my chest.
"Do you want me to have a car available for when you leave?"
Again, he wasn't looking at me. "I'm fine. Thanks," I said evenly, despite my brain racing to think of any last-minute ways to bring up last night. Because I refuse to spend the rest of my day frantically overanalyzing every second from this morning, including Mason's exit toward the door without another word spoken to me. Fuck it. I sat only a second in my chair before getting up to follow Mason. My heart beat fast as I stared at his elegant silhouette standing before the elevator in that perfectly tapered suit. "Mace." His name breathed softly from my lips, and when he turned around, I fought past the nerves that came with his handsome frown. Closing in on him, I touched his chest, my other hand grabbing his and sliding it beneath my sweater. I molded it to my naked breast, squeezing hard till he groaned against the kiss I pressed to his lips. One flick of tongue, and our pace picked up. A rumble escaping Mason's chest. He pushed my shirt up, fondling me roughly, a grunt tearing from his throat as he thrust me up against the wall. I gasped as I felt his tongue flick hot over my nipple, just a second before the elevator opened beside us and prompted his throaty growl. "Fuck, Taylor." Panting hard, Mason pulled away from me. There was torture in his eyes, and his fingers dug into my waist. But then he groaned and buried his face in my neck and gave a tormented laugh.
"This is the hard-on I was hoping to avoid before work," he muttered, relieving and guilting me in one shot.
When he drew back, I sucked in my bottom lip at the look of torture on his face. He shook his head at me, a brief silence passing before he said, "I'm late." Retrieving his suitcase from the ground, Mason nodded for me to follow him to the elevator, and as he stepped inside, I stood in its frame. I watched in awe as he leaned forward to kiss my lips gently, stepping back a second before the heavy doors glided shut to leave me alone in his penthouse, stunned and utterly breathless. Chapter 12. I was beyond glad I was off work, because the rest of my day was spent thinking nonstop about Mason. I found myself craving the sound of his voice, the smell of his skin. My brain refused to stop reliving the events of last night at Noah's house. I relished it like my favorite scene in a movie, rewinding and replaying over and over, so I couldn't be confused for even a second that it had all been a dream. It was an insanely girly thing to do, and I couldn't believe myself. But I'd also stopped trying to understand what was going on. I was beyond the point of trying to make sense of this, of Mason and me. All I knew was that it felt good, better than good, like the breathless, exciting, heart-skipping a beat kind of romance I'd fantasized about in high school, but long concluded wasn't actually real. Feeling this sexy, pleasured, and satisfied was something straight out of Hollywood. That was what I told myself. Till last night and this morning, at least. Thanks to that inexplicably sweet kiss at his elevator, I just about sighed throughout the rest of my day, feeling as if I were floating several inches off the ground. I read a few chapters of the book I started 4 months ago, got my nails done, and went window shopping for shoes. I strolled around aimlessly, burning through every playlist on my phone, and at the end of the night, enjoyed a solo glass of wine with charcuterie in the window of a French bistro on Broadway. By 8 p.m., I was sure I was maxed out on content and thoroughly done for the night. But then Mason called.
"What are you doing?"
he asked when I picked up the phone. Unless I imagined it, there was a smile in his voice. "I had a treat-yourself kind of day," I replied, trailing my finger along the fine edge of my glass.
"Sounds nice.
How was your day?" I asked, laughing inwardly at how weirdly normal our conversation sounded for once.
"Not bad, but a little long considering how it started,"
Mason answered.
Girl I had over last night left me in a bad way before sending me off to work. Really could have used a cold shower before going to my meeting, but I was already running late.
That low and buttery laugh of his sent a chill up my arms.
Know anything about that?
I grinned like an idiot, tousling my hair as I gazed out the window. I may. Sorry, by the way.
No need to apologize. Just come meet me for dinner.
I blinked. Oh, sure. I pushed the charcuterie plate away, surprising myself with how quickly I turned to signal my waiter for the check. Where should I meet you?
I'm not sure yet. Just tell me where you are so I can send my driver to get you.
I'm in the Upper West Side, by Lincoln Center.
Text me the address, and I'll have a car there within 10 minutes.
Done. When we hung up, I hastily texted him the address of the bistro and settled up my bill. I sucked in my bottom lip, trying to contain my excitement, but the effort was in vain. So I gave up to bundle up, stepping outside with a big, stupid smile hidden behind my scarf, as I spotted the black Mercedes pulling up to deliver me to Mason. Upon arriving downtown at the Victorian Hotel, I gave my name up front to be escorted to the very top of the building, into the sleek, swanky lounge. It was packed and buzzing inside, cocktail waitresses drifting about in half bouffants, winged eyeliner and ivory silk shift dresses. There was a retro feel to the place, especially with swinging jazz echoing beyond the din of conversation, and vintage chandelier sconces dimly lighting the room.
"Mr. Leo is waiting for you upstairs, miss,"
said the suited gentleman who brought me into the bar. Leading the way, I followed him to a flight of roped-off stairs that he let me up before closing off again. Alone now, I made my way up the marble steps, approaching a room overlooking the one I'd just come from. There was an ornate wrought-iron balcony that reminded me of a sheet of lace. Once I got to the top of the steps, I saw a cozy but sophisticated space furnished with a fully stocked bar, a hanging candelabra, and a sprawling leather couch on which my favorite part of the room sat. He hadn't noticed me yet. A silver pen in the easy grip of his left hand, Mason jotted in a small planner, failing thus far to look up and greet me. I didn't mind. It gave me time to study him without his knowledge, which I'd come to realize was something I loved to do. It meant I got to see him without the jokes, and the snark, and the sarcasm that seemed inevitable the moment he laid eyes upon me. It also meant I could stand there for a moment and secretly admire how devastatingly beautiful he was, in a simple white shirt with no tie, his suit jacket often draped over the back of the couch. They were broad already, but his perfect shoulders broadened further from the way he leaned forward on his knees. Sitting perfectly straight yet at ease, he was a winning combination of authority and nonchalance that had me pretty furiously turned on. "Hey." When his greeting finally came, it was with a glimmer in his eyes and an easy smile on his lips. "Hi," I breathed, watching him rise to his feet and come to take my coat. Once it was hung on the rack, his hand found the small of my back, and he led me to the couch. On the table in front of us, there was already a spread of risotto and scallops on the shell, served on a wooden cutting board. His glass of red was reaching its end, so after pouring mine, he refilled it, handing it to me. He laughed.
"Don't worry. You don't need to drink or finish it. Just seemed rude if I didn't pour you a glass."
"Ah, so you're actually concerned with seeming rude now," I teased but quickly relented. "I'm joking. You more than cleared up everything last night at Noah's, and I guess this morning as well." He smirked at my references to the past 24 hours we had, but when he spoke, his voice was a genuine murmur.
"I'm glad I got to see you tonight."
My heart skipped a beat. "Me too. Did I dare say it?" I bit my lip. "I thought about you a decent amount today." I laughed sheepishly.
"I doubt it was anything compared to how much I thought about you," Mason said. He laughed. "I'm actually behind on my work now thanks to the lack of thinking with my brain all day."
"Really?" I wet my lips, gazing down at my crossed legs grazing Mason's. My body angled toward him so I could feel his warmth. Well, you have 3 more days before we leave for St. Lucia. Mason nodded, and once I get back, I'll have to break the news to the company that runs this bar that I'm not renewing their contract. My lashes fluttered. Right, because you're going to give this space to Vandermark, I murmured, remembering the contract with my company Mason promised. It was the only reason Lori gave me the 2 weeks off out of nowhere. That deal is going to make me look like a rock star at work, by the way. I mean, it's easily 1,000 times bigger than any other contract I've ever negotiated, and there have been a lot.
Yeah? How long have you worked at Vandermark?
Since I was 19, so 7 years now. Mason raised his eyebrows high.
Right. You didn't go to college.
He took a moment to remember the fact that so thoroughly shocked him a couple days ago.
So, how the hell did you land a spot at that company fresh out of high school?
He asked with a curiosity that flattered me, but I struggled to figure out how to answer. It's a little hard to explain, I laughed quietly, letting myself remember. I'd have to go way back to where I grew up and how high school went for me. Kind of a long story, so... Mason glanced at his watch.
Well, they close in 2 hours here, but you and I have all night. We can stay till the morning if we want, so if you're willing to tell me, I'd be more than happy to listen.
I looked up at him, surprised by the honesty in his eyes. Not a single glint of a laugh or a joke. I bit my lip. Sure, I said, failing to sound unfazed. I guess it starts with, getting shuffled around a bit when I was a kid.
Where did you grow up?
Vermont. Super blue-collar town in Bennington County. I'd say the name, but you haven't heard of it. And it's nothing to know about anyway. I smiled a bit sheepishly. And I didn't stay there long. It was just the last place I lived with my mom before she sent me off to some poor relative who really couldn't afford me more than she could. I looked up to catch Mason's reaction to the fact that I hadn't grown up in the upper-middle-class dream that people always assumed I came from. I expected to see him wrinkle his nose a bit like Aaron had when he heard I'd once lived in a trailer home. But there was nothing of that kind of expression. No flinch at all in any of Mason's perfectly symmetrical features. All he did was nod and keep his attention fixed gently on me, so I'd continue talking. Anyway, I bounced around to other relatives before she got someone to take me in for good. It was nice because I got to spend my high school years in White River Junction, which is a small town where you kind of have to make your own entertainment. But it was a good community. It made up for the fact that I was with Aunt Joy, whose name I think was some kind of cruel joke, I laughed to myself, quiet as I thought for the first time in ages about the woman who used to spend entire days chain-smoking in the living room and watching all the conspiracy theory documentaries Netflix had to offer. She worked part-time at the grocery store before I moved in, but once I came around, she quit and made me pay $700 a month in rent and utilities, which for a 15-year-old was kind of difficult. But if I didn't, I had nowhere else to go. Mason frowned.
So you managed to do that?
I took a sip of my wine, letting the bitter tannins coat my tongue. With 2 jobs after school, didn't leave much room for a social life, but at least I got to fantasize a lot about how I was going to leave the second I graduated, which is exactly what I did.
Pretty fucking impressive.
Mason nodded with approval.
Especially considering you moved straight to one of the most expensive cities in the country.
I blushed. Trust me, it probably wasn't the smartest move, and I struggled for a while to get a job. No one wants to hire you in New York unless you have New York experience. But you can't get New York experience unless someone hires you. It was definitely a struggle, and I wouldn't have found anything if it weren't for my math teacher from high school. She was the one who'd see me walking into her homeroom like a zombie, because I could never start studying till I got home from work, and considering I had to go several towns over to find my second job, that wasn't till 10, 11 at night. So she was the one who helped me make a template, so I could know how much to set aside and save for myself so I could move. I shook my head at myself, holding my wine glass against my bottom lip as I thought about how bullheaded and foolish I was as a kid. She tried so hard to convince me to go somewhere besides New York, but I was so young and dumb, and I'd watched so many movies where I saw Fifth Avenue or the Empire State Building, and I was just set in my mind. So when I graduated, I came here and floundered cluelessly for about 8 months, till I was almost out of money. Mason had a hand thrust in his hair as he processed my story thus far.
I can't believe this is you. I don't know why, but I just assumed you'd started out differently here.
I know. I can't believe it either when I think about it. I used to survive on peanut butter or grilled cheeses all week, so it definitely feels like I've come pretty far, I said quietly. Mason shook his head, looking stunned.
You have, and you should be proud. You did it all on your own.
Well, not quite, I admitted. I called my math teacher when I was back to unemployed, and wondering if I could really make it in this city. She could hear the desperation in my voice, so she wound up calling, I squinted. I believe it was her mother-in-law's church friend's goddaughter. I laughed at Mason's face of pure astonishment. I know. She called that person to see if she'd be willing to give me an internship. And from what I understand, she called her every week for 2 months until she gave in, and contacted me for an interview at this crazy famous restaurant group I couldn't believe I even had a connection to. And even crazier than that, I actually got hired. I started as a paid intern, and it took 2 years to become an assistant, and then another 2 before I became an official event coordinator for Vandermark Restaurants. Mason was grinning at the improbability of my story.
Fuck. That title at the age of 23 is pretty unbelievable, he said, putting a glow on my face. And the fact that this woman believes so fiercely in you certainly says something about what a hard worker you were from the start.
I hope so, I nodded, smiling to myself. Her name is Lori.
Your teacher?
No, the woman who hired me to Vandermark. I consider her one of my best friends now, too, I said. Thinking guiltily about how I hadn't updated Lori at all regarding my fomance with Mason. But now there was so much to explain that I figured I'd just wait till I got back to work.
That's amazing,
Mason remarked, his blue eyes glimmering as they traced the pride curving the edges of my lips.
What was your teacher's name?
My smile faltered a bit. It's going to sound weird, but I don't really like saying her name aloud. Mason looked confused.
Why?
He asked. Hard to explain, but I'll just say it. It's Mrs. Nolan.
Is she still here? Why is it hard for you to say?
She's still here, in her early 60s now. But I just don't like mentioning her name, and I'm kind of begging you to avoid it from here on out, too, I murmured hastily, feeling like a crazy person. I knew Mason was curious to press on about the reasons for my restrictions, but all I had to do was flash him a bit of a pleading look, and with a nod, he mercifully dropped it, changing the subject.
Can I make you a plate?
He asked, gesturing toward the food. I'm okay for now. But you can answer me a question, I replied.
What is it?
I brainstormed. I don't know. I have to think of one. I just figure you owe me some stories from your own life, considering how much you just heard about mine. Mason smiled.
Fair enough. What do you want to know?
Let's start with how you grew up. I know a little from Aaron, though. I smiled, taking a baby sip of my wine. Born and raised in New York, grew up in the Upper West Side. You went to the Wharton School of Business and then Columbia for your master's. Mason raised his eyebrows.
That's more than I figured you'd know.
You seem to underestimate your little brother's obsession with you.
No. We've all been well-versed on Aaron's jealousy issues. I just didn't think he'd subject you to them.
Mason laughed. Who's we? I asked, letting him pull my legging-clad legs onto his lap. You and your parents?
Yes. Specifically me and my mother.
You've met her.
Of course.
Clara Leo, born Clara Alba. She was a shockingly beautiful, sweet, and naturally doting woman who I had the pleasure of seeing only once a year during Thanksgiving. And every Thanksgiving, she begged Aaron and me to come to Christmas, often trying to bribe us with everything from delicious home-baked pastries to expensive gifts.
She'd say that was only the start, if we'd just come to see her on Christmas as well. But Aaron always said we'd already committed to a friend's party, whether it was true or not. And soon enough, I was conditioned to love but dread Thanksgiving, because I knew it was that time of the year when Aaron and I would disappoint poor Clara. From what I observed, there was nothing not to love about her, so it broke my heart in half. "She's got to be the most loving woman I've ever met in my life," I said truthfully. I wish Aaron would have wanted to spend more time with her, but he had a slight resentment about how she favored you.
"You're kidding,"
Mason laughed straight away, though I could tell he found nothing funny at all. I cocked my head curiously as he took a minute to process what I'd just said. The grip he had on my knee firmed a bit as he shook his head.
"That's insane. Aaron knows he's our mother's weakness. She's incredibly proud of me. But she's always spent most of her time worrying about him, making sure he's happy and taken care of, especially since she knows he's got this weird fucking complex about being the kid brother."
"I don't know if it's a kid brother complex so much as the less successful brother complex," I said, annoyed as I thought about it. "He felt like your dad didn't respect him, and like your mother pitied him."
"Fuck him,"
Mason seethed, staring straight ahead.
"He punished her for years just for loving him as much as she did. She cried every day for weeks after he left for California,"
he revealed, promptly breaking my heart again. I had barely considered that anyone was suffering as much as I was thanks to Aaron. But now that I thought about it, I couldn't believe I'd forgotten about Clara and how much she had to be hurting.
"I know if he really ends up marrying Eva, we'll completely lose him to the Tully family. He'll never come home to so much as visit, and within a few years, he'll probably get comfortable with not calling my mother, not even on holidays. And considering how she's spent her entire life just giving to us, how much bullshit she's accepted from my father just for us, I won't let that fucking happen. I'm not letting Aaron just run away from his idiot insecurities and start over without thinking about the woman who dedicated her life to his happiness, if not our whole family. He should at least think of her."
My heart ached, just from looking at the fury and torment twisting Mason's face. Leaning against him, my legs still in his lap, I dared to put a hand on his chest, stroking gently when I felt just how rapidly his heart was beating. "That's perfectly fair. If I had someone like Clara growing up, I'd spend my life making sure I gave back till she had all the happiness she deserved," I said, hating Aaron in that moment for being so thankless. Not only did he have a mother his whole life, he had one who loved him like she was all that existed in her world. If I'd had that, I couldn't imagine taking it for granted, let alone abandoning it the way he was doing now.
"I know you would."
I felt the rumble under Mason's hard chest as he drew in a deep breath and let it slowly out. Relaxing a bit, he gazed down at my hand on him. I watched in awe as he wrapped his hand around my wrist, bringing my fingertips up to his mouth and brushing a kiss so faint against them that I wondered if I could even call it that. But whatever the gesture was, it had me spellbound.
"You're a better person than he is. You always deserved better than him,"
Mason murmured, managing to crack an almost laugh.
"My mom said herself that she was thankful he found you, that if he wouldn't let her into his life anymore, at least she knew there was a good woman taking care of him."
My chest twisted with another painful ache. God, this makes me want to slap Aaron for being so cold to her. Why did she even favor him so much if he was such an ungrateful bastard? Mason shrugged.
"He was her miracle baby."
"What do you mean?" Mason let out a breath, his Adam's apple bobbing in his throat before he gave his answer.
"She wanted to give me a younger brother to grow up with," he murmured, "but she lost all three pregnancies before Aaron."
My stomach lurched so hard, I clutched it. "She did?"
"Yes."
Mason frowned at me. I knew the blood had drained from my face because suddenly he was cupping it in his hands and gazing into my eyes.
"Taylor, are you okay?"
I breathed a moment, leaning into his palm. "Yes." I gathered myself as best I could. I just can't believe Aaron never told me that.
"Well, He enjoyed the perks that came with being the miracle baby, until all that loving attention became pressure to him, feeling like something huge was expected out of him, something he couldn't give because he couldn't match what I'd done in my career. But it was all self-inflicted. My mom would be proud of anything he decided to do. All she's ever actually wanted from him is his love, feeling like she is a family.
I can understand that, I mumbled, realizing that was exactly what I'd wanted from Aaron myself. Jesus, I really should have hung out with his mother more often. What about your dad? I dared to ask curiously.
He's my dad, Mason said bluntly.
Then, recognizing his tone, he cleared his throat.
I mean, he provided for us, made sure we never wanted for anything. But he cheated openly on my mom, and he wouldn't stop no matter how often she or I begged him. Makes me fucking pray that she didn't stay with him all these years, just because Aaron and I begged her not to get a divorce. We were in middle school, but she promised she wouldn't. She still hasn't, Mason said, chewing his bottom lip. And I know she'll want even more to hang on to the family she's got if she really loses Aaron. But if that fucking happens, I'll still be the real family left for her, and someday I'll give her everything she wants, the grandchildren, the big Christmases, all of that. I'll do it.
I could practically see the pictures in Mason's head flickering behind his blue eyes, while a part of me ached for him and Clara. The other part was in awe of the fact that he'd just bared himself so honestly to me. Never in my life would I have imagined having a heart-to-heart with Mason Leo, let alone this kind of soul-bearing conversation that served as basically an open door into his past. His whole being. My pulse picked up as I studied him, contemplating my own confession. I tried to tell myself it would be selfish to bring it up now, so I pressed my lips together and tried to hold it in. But then, without warning, it blurted out without my permission. I lost Aaron's baby 2 years ago. I wasn't sure if it was the sentence spoken aloud, or the sheer hurt on Mason's face that made my heart stop. His lips parted, opening and closing, but saying nothing as he took in my words. It was 3 months after the break, I went on quietly. The one I told you about? I cried my eyes out when he asked for it, because we'd just moved in together, and I was so scared he was going to leave me. And then one night he texted me and he said, "I'm sorry, I'm weak." And considering how much Whitney was texting and calling him before our break, I knew he was about to go cheat on me with her. So I looked for him, everywhere. I burned through 4 cabs and 3 trains in 2 hours, just scouring the entire city for Aaron, until I realized I wasn't going to find him, and my relationship was over. So I called Sophia and we drank like crazy, but I lost control and I had too much. I wound up passing out on the floor of a public bathroom. I'd wake up only to vomit every once in a while, I confessed with a pause, disgusted as I remembered the smell of that night. Fuck. I wish I didn't just tell you that, I whispered, my face hot with shame. Hey, don't, Mason murmured, pulling me right onto his lap. Straddling him now, I found my face so close to his that I couldn't help but believe when he said, "I want to hear. I want to know the things that have happened to you, Taylor. So tell me, and don't for a second be ashamed." I swallowed the ball of emotion in my throat. "Okay," I breathed, taking a moment to figure out how to go on. His hands rubbed my back gently. I closed my eyes for a moment to soak in his comfort, but then, swallowing again, I went on. Basically, Sophia couldn't get me up on her own, and the people at the bar were closing up and yelling for her to get me the hell out. And I was half dead from drinking so much. But I remember panicking for her, and thinking that if Aaron came to get me, and if he somehow didn't cheat, I'd take him back and we'd start over. Long story short, he came. I heard his voice comforting me when he picked me up off the floor, and I could hardly open my eyes, but I could feel he was sorry. In the cab, I asked if he still loved me, and he said yes. And in the morning, he was sitting at my bedside, taking care of me. I closed my eyes for a moment, breathing steady so I could muster up the courage for what I was about to say next. But within a week, I knew it was a mistake. What was? Mason asked softly, taking him back.
He came to get me. He didn't cheat, and he was so good to me. He did everything he could to make it up to me, and we were communicating better than ever. But I still felt this weird disconnect. Everyone thought we were the perfect couple, that he was the sweetest boyfriend. And aside from that night, or maybe because of that night, he was. He was the best boyfriend to me, but I didn't want him anymore. And I didn't know how to reconcile those feelings, because he was being more honest than ever, spending every minute away from work with me and taking me on all my dream trips. But for some reason, I didn't feel like I loved him anymore. And it took so much courage. But I finally decided I needed to leave. But then, out of nowhere, tears choked my throat, struggling to finish. Mason did it for me.
"You got pregnant," he murmured,
his hands brushing the hair out of my face, his eyes on me even though I couldn't look at him.
"You took it as a sign that you should be with him."
If anything, I thought it would fix us. I thought it would make me feel that love I felt for him before the break, I whispered, tears rolling down my cheeks. And it worked. At least I thought it did. But I realize now it was just the joy being pregnant, of carrying another life in my stomach and thinking about what I'd name my baby, how I'd dress him if he was a boy or if she was a girl. I fantasized so much about being the mother I never had, and it made me feel so good. I felt all the life and joy and energy I couldn't find in my relationship with Aaron before we got pregnant. But then I lost it. Him. It was only after the miscarriage that Aaron and I found out the sex of the baby. He cried harder when he realized it was a boy. We both cried, really, for what felt like weeks on end. He was in pain himself, but he was my rock at that time. I had no one else to talk to. Lori was pregnant herself, and I knew it had to be in poor taste to cry to her about it. So I didn't. Sophia was understanding, but I knew it tortured her that she didn't know what to say or how to make me stop crying. I knew also that it was hard for her to listen to the details, because while she knew what miscarriages were, she didn't know exactly how it happened. Neither had I before it did. No one had ever told me that I could lose my baby. Now he was gone, and I would still have to wait to pass him through my body. No one told me what it felt like to carry something lifeless inside you, nor did they talk about the bleeding, just how much there was during and even after the fact. But worst of all, no one warned me about how hard I would hang on to the memory of that last good ultrasound. I could still hear it if I wanted to. At 10 weeks, my baby was still bobbing happily inside my belly. His heart was still beating, and the whole world was still ahead of him. But then just a couple days later, he was gone, and I was inconsolable. Aaron did his best, though. In fact, he did an incredible job. He got permission to leave the office an hour early every day, so he could spend as much time with me as possible. We named our son, bought him a blanket, and said our goodbyes to get closure. And from that point forward, I felt like Aaron and I were a team. Together we'd gotten through the lowest point of our lives and grown a million times stronger, as not just individuals, but as a couple. Those who did know about my miscarriage told me I was lucky to have the support I had from Aaron. Losing the life inside you was hard enough on its own. It would be harder without having someone so reliably there for you. And I knew that was true. But I still felt completely out of love with him, I cried softly, confessing the words to Mason that I was so ashamed of. After all we went through, and all he did for me, I still didn't feel right with him. I should have been appreciating him and thanking God for him, but all I could do was hate the fact that I didn't leave him when I had the chance, because then I could have avoided all the pain. I wouldn't have to know what all of it felt like, I sobbed, loathing myself. My baby had already lost his chance at the world. He didn't need to know that his mother wished he'd never happened at all. It was selfish and pointless and painful, and I did my best to repent for those thoughts by being good to Aaron, by staying with him, reminding myself of how good he was, and suffocating all thoughts of regret. I did it so well for a while. I convinced myself we were perfect. But then I woke up one morning,
and he was gone.
Hey.
Mason's whisper was intense, pleading as he cupped my face in his hands.
Don't blame yourself for this, Taylor. You can't,
he urged me, thumbing the tears that streamed incessantly down my cheeks.
I'm sorry.
His voice was filled with emotion I didn't know existed anywhere in that rock-solid body.
I'm so fucking sorry this happened to you. I don't know the pain. I never will. But I remember the nights my mother cried. I'll never forget how hard it was. And I'd give anything to take those memories away from her, from you. But we can't rewind on the past, and trust me, I fucking hate it too,
he murmured, his voice hoarse. My eyes were shut, but his lips were close. I could feel them, almost taste them, and it soothed me. Not completely, but enough for the tears to slow down. They finally stopped, but Mason kept my cheek in his hands, and his fingers brushed through my hair.
We face probably 100 forks in the road over the course of our lives, and I guarantee you no one has ever lived to make the right decision every time. But you can't get the past back, and you can't spend your life wishing you could. You just have to trust that if you're not in the right place right now, the steps you take from this point forward will get you there.
He wet his lips when I finally met his gaze again.
Eventually, at least. Right?
Staring at my hands on his chest, I nodded, surprised to find his simple words lifting the weight of my heart. I think so. He nodded, quiet for a moment, studying me as I let the hiccups pass and breathed deep again. When the calm returned, I looked up at Mason, remembering the last time I had cried in front of him. It was in my apartment, after processing the news of Aaron's wedding. Mason had barely looked at me as the tears rolled down my cheeks, only concerned with getting his chance to speak once I was done being needy and emotional.
God, it really wasn't that long ago, but it felt like the Mason then was the stranger to me.
Not the Mason sitting before me now, stroking my cheek and brushing any strands of hair from my face that had matted to my skin from the tears.
Thank you, I whispered, realizing as the words came out that it was my first time saying them to Mason in person, and meaning it with every ounce of me, from the bottom of my heart. It felt like a little turning point for us, and maybe he realized it too, because he looked at me in a way I'd never seen before. I couldn't pin what the expression was, but it made me feel damned good, warm and safe, almost loved. Sliding my hands up on his body, I hung them on his strong shoulders. I didn't think I'd ever say any of that out loud to someone. And I don't know why, but I'm actually... I trailed off, hoping I hadn't set my sentence up to sound like an insult. I'm actually glad it was you, I finally murmured. But then I winced. That sounded wrong. I kept my eyes down for a moment, bracing for Mason's smart reply. But when I looked up again, he kissed me. His lips were so hot against mine, I promptly lost every other thought I had a moment ago. I was more than fine with that. My arms around his neck, I kissed Mason back, moaning softly against him, luxuriating in the strength of both his arms wrapped so tight around my waist. It felt like I was somewhere else, on our own island, the only ones who were breathing this air. The only ones who could come close to understanding the gratification of the moment. He'd kissed me the other night at Noah's, but this felt different, just as urgent, but somehow softer, easier. My body melted into his, and I felt an odd sense of being okay, of belonging. As if I, for the first time in a long time, were finally and actually in the right place.
Chapter 13. I felt oddly superstitious about it, but the next morning I told Sophia the truth about everything. I had the green light from Mason, and even if I didn't, I couldn't bear to keep her in the dark anymore. After all the demons that came out last night at the Victorian Hotel, it felt like I'd reached a breaking point, and I couldn't stand for anything but honesty anymore, at least with the ones I loved. And to my absolute relief, Sophia wasn't angry. Curled up with two mugs of coffee at the cafe under her East Village apartment, we touched on every point of my arrangement with Mason, with very little fanfare, which was surprising considering Sophia liked to gasp, squeal, and flail around about everything. But there was none of that today. After taking a quiet moment to finally let it all